there a standard number of holes, or does that kind of vary from?
Yeah, no, it's pretty much the standard. You know, it's a ratio. So I'm not a flute maker, but yeah, they have to have a certain ratio of the holes that divides the airstream.
But I know that there are some flutes that are 7-hole on some holes.
Yes, this has an extra hole down here, 2 extra ones. I don't play those holes usually, but it's for tuning mainly.
Thank you.
Piccolo?
Piccolo.
Piccolo Mansory?
I left him in the dryer. Western flute, and you know, that's back when Jethro Tull was really big. He's still pretty big, you know. So. Remember that? A great musician. I mean, he wasn't a great flutist, but he's very tasteful. He wrote a lot of great songs. So but at the same time, I got into all kinds of other music. I was just exposed to a lot at once. I had a really great flute teacher. She was actually a student, a graduate student at Juilliard. So I was learning, you know, Mozart and. Charlie Parker and
just all kinds of music. I was just attracted to all music. Got a lot of Irish music. And but then I also started listening to Indian music, and that really affected me. There was one Indian music in our library in high school. It was Ravi Shankar live at the Monterey Pop Festival. Everyone remember that one? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me such a great honor to play along with my colleagues for you. Let's all pray I can give a good performance and it doesn't rain. And he gave this incredible performance. And so every, I had six periods in school, and after the sixth period, you take the bus home. So I had this free period, sixth period, every day, I put the headphones on and listened to the same record. I was so in love with this record. And I had the headphones on, I'd do my math homework. So that was, so then I went off to university, and I started, there really weren't any, I was this, at this point, I got this Ravi Shankar correspondence course, and you could learn these different melodies from, he was like a cassette tape series, but it was really good. I learned all these different songs. Gare za niza re gama pa re, gare za niza, gare za niza, da niza mama pa. It's all vocal, but I think if you learn the vocal, you're imbibing the music. But I was in Iowa, and I just kept studying jazz, and I was listening a lot to Indian music. Then I moved to Washington, D.C., and I said, I'm going to find a real Indian music teacher. And one day I was playing somewhere with some friends. This guy came up to me and says, I'll teach you, John. He didn't even introduce himself. He just said, I'll teach you. I didn't know who this guy was. But anyway, he was a really great South Indian singer. And South Indian music is a little different than North Indian. But this guy was a master chef. And so I would just go to his house. He'd cook me this wonderful, like, seven-course meal. And he'd teach me these songs. He never charged me anything. And he just started teaching me these really beautiful South Indian songs. Like, Danipa magamare re gamapa madanipa magamare re gamapa madani dani dani pa madapa magamare re gamapa madani dani 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 pa magamare da dani 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 pa mapa magamare dani 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 pa magamare gamapani. I mean, very intense stuff. I mean, it'd be 10 minutes of these long lines, all composed. They improvise in it too, but it's like, and very hip, kind of like Weather Report. It's like, wow. So we later on did that with our jazz group. I had my bass player run it on bass. And then, and I was playing a lot, I was doing my best to play Indian music on this. But there still wasn't anybody. I hadn't met anybody. And I started to say, I can't get the full effect on this flute. Because in Indian music, it's a lot of this, they're never hitting the notes straight. This flute is hard. It's not quite the same. So, but I didn't know anyone who played this flute. I was with the Transcendental Meditation Movement at that time, and Maharishi Mahesh Yogi decided to open up a division of music, and he sent Indian music teachers to America. So, this couple came, and we were running the school. This Indian music school, and this couple came from India. And they said, well, these people need a place to stay. Can they stay at your house for a week while they're looking for a place to stay? And we said, okay. And every day this lady was cooking all this. She's in the kitchen like 4 hours a day cooking all these seven-course dinners and everything. And he was a really good tabla player. So after a week we said, you can stay as long as you want. So they lived with us for a year. So we were having this Indian music in our house, and somehow the word got out to Indian musicians. They said, oh, if you're coming to Washington, D.C., stay with John. He'll take care of you. So so soon it was all the musicians in Washington, D.C., I won't say all of them, but many of them would come by and say, "Are you John? Can we stay with you?" And these guys would come, and it was really fun. And so I got more and more into the Indian culture, but really learning from these people. And of course, I always learned from the different people. I thought it was very interesting, actually, because this one group of guys came, and we had a pretty big house at the time, 5-bedroom house. And I gave them each a bedroom. But then the morning I woke up, they had all gone into one room. They weren't used to sleeping in separate rooms. And this one guy's playing tabla. And there's another guy who's fast asleep. His head is like 5 feet from the tabla. I said, "These are different kind of people." They go. So finally, this really great sitar player, quite famous guy, came. And he said, "John, you know, you should really come to India." So at that time, I was so in love with the music, I said, okay. And somehow in Washington, D.C., I looked on Craigslist, and there was somebody who had a big barn, and they would let you store all your stuff in their barn. It was $17 a month, I remember. So I took everything I had, and I put it in the corner of this barn, and I just went to India. Come on in.
There's like a window.
Yeah.
Might not have been there.
So I went to India, and I was studying with this great sitar player. And everybody in India knows this great, great flutist. His name is Hari Prasad Chaurasia. Many people ask me, "Who's that?" I said, "Well, you know how Michael Jordan is to basketball? I mean, he's like the king. He's like made 200 CDs, and he's this incredible musician." I mean, and I wasn't really happy with the teachers I had. Some you'll learn if you've ever been to India. Some people are, there's these wonderful open hearted people. Then there's some people who just see you as a big dollar sign. You're a Westerner. How can we get money out of this guy? So I had this one guy, this teacher. He'd already done a couple moves on me. You know, "Oh, this flute is so great, and I will give it to you, but it's very hard for me to part with." And I found out, you know, so I paid a certain price. Found out later I paid like, you know, 10 times what it was worth. But my friend said, "Well, I know Hari Prasad, I'll introduce you to him. Just go to the concert tonight." So I went to the concert, and then afterwards, I took it very seriously. I bought all these flowers, because he's a great guru, I gave him flowers. I touched his feet, you know. And I said, "Can I study with you?" He said, "Play something." So I just played what I knew. I had learned from some teachers. He says, "Okay, you can come to Bombay. You can come in 3 weeks." Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wow, I get to spend some time. I still thought, okay, there's going to be like, this guy's like famous, you know. I had tried to hang around my jazz heroes when I was young. I tried to just hang around Keith Jarrett. I wasn't able to just like get around and hang around these guys. But there I was in Bombay, and I showed up at this place, and he came, and there's only like four other people. And he came every day for 3 hours, and he was teaching us. And his teaching method was really simple. He would just say, "Okay, we're do bo party." And he would just start playing. He would just go, and then we would all repeat. And we repeat. And that was it. That's pretty much how I learned from him. But we do that for like 3 hours. And I would tape it, and I'd go home at night, and I'd play all again along with the whole lesson for 3 hours. So I did 3 hours in the day, and then 3 hours again in the evening. And then he said, after doing this, he was busy. We'd do it for like 3 weeks, and then he'd go off on some tours, and he'd come back. And then so I learned like this. And finally, he says, "You should come to study with me in Rotterdam, Holland." So when I left India, I didn't actually have enough money to go there, because I'd spent all my money in India. But luckily, we got overbooked. Okay. It was on British Airways coming back. And they said, "Oh, if you don't fly, we'll give you 150. And I thought, okay, that's not 150 rupees, it's like $3. It's not really worth it. But then I found out, no, it was 150 pounds. And it was for each of us. I was traveling with my wife, and so it's like 400, 300, or maybe like 400 pounds. So it's like equivalent of like $600. So we didn't fly for 2 nights. So they had like all of a sudden $1,200. You arrive in London and they give you this cash. So I said, oh, we can go to Holland now. I can go see Ari Prasad in Holland. And I went there and he was there. And they said, well, we've never done this before, but you know, you can enroll here if you, because you're already, they wanted to have older people there too. Most of the students were like 18 to 20 and they wanted some more people that are already pretty good at music. So I enrolled at the Rotterdam Conservatory. And in Holland, it's all free education. And even for foreigners, it was $1,000 a year to go to this top conservatory. So for the next 12 years, I commuted from Washington, D.C. to Holland to be with Hari Prasad. And I just sit in this room with him. And just, most of the time, it's just me and him. I do over, you know, maybe 3 or 4 2-hour sessions. And then sometimes I've also, we'd be in groups, but it was just incredible. I mean, this guy, he's just like, I felt like it was just a laser beam into my heart. That's basically what it felt like. Because the sound of this flute, and then also the tradition of the ragas, the vibrations that the ragas are, that combination. I just remember walking out of the lessons going, oh yeah, I think I'm a person. Oh yeah, I'd have to like remember who John was. So that's the wonderful story of how I got into this, and it's still amazing to me as well. And it keeps going. I keep meeting new different musicians, and so I'm doing that. I just love this sound. Sonata. Maybe you've heard of it, the Siciliano. It's pretty famous. It's done. It's beautiful, one of these beautiful killer Bach slow movements. And I made a version of it. And I thought one day, where I mixed it with a raga, because it just seemed to naturally go, and I'll play it for you. In fact, I think that's the first piece I'll play. And one day I said to my assistant, I had this assistant with my internet marketing business, and I said, we should send this out to the flutist and the National Flute Association. And I thought, and let's name the title, What If J.S. Bach Had Gone to India? It actually could have happened, although it wasn't so easy back then. But it could have happened. That Taj Mahal, they were bringing people from all over the world to build the Taj Mahal. But anyway, it didn't happen. But anyway, he sent it out to all the people. I said, well, just send that out to everyone in the National Flute Association. And I got this email from lots of people. Oh, that was really great. I really liked that. And I got this one email that said, John, that was really very well done. Signed, James Galway. So that was cool. So I'll make that the first piece. So this is, like I said, Bach, I'm not sure how many, there's like 8 or 9 of these flute sonatas that Bach wrote, and they're just perfect. Bach is, some of them, they're not sure if it was him or his son a few of them. There's three they're not sure if it's him or Carr, Philip, Emmanuel. But it doesn't really matter. It's incredible music. So, you've heard just a little bit of that riff here. Let's see if I have it. I think I have the accompaniment. Do I have it on here? I think I don't. Anyway, I have the harpsichord accompaniment, but I forgot to load it on here. But I'll play this. This is a raga known as Rag Kirvani. And I found myself one day mixing in elements of this Bach flute sonata. So this I call this Facing Beloved. Because when we're playing music, my feeling is we're facing the divine, whether it's east or west. God. So this is Rag Kirvani and parts of Bach's Siciliano movement of the E flat flute sonata.
deeper thing, which is what in India they call the ras. So you hear Indian musicians sometimes they say, yes, he was playing correctly, but there was no ras. No ras. There was no feeling, the essence of the raga. And even the great masters, they'll just play two or three notes and you get this whole flood of feeling. You know? I mean, that's with any great musician, you know. Miles Davis would just play one note.
Get up!
You know, it's just like very powerful, you know. So it's like, great musicians can say a lot with a few notes because there's so much in there. So anyway, each of these ragas is like it's almost like a person. You know, you get to know that person the more you. So when you talk with any musicians, they're all like talking about, oh, Bhupali, she's so sweet, but she can be all so intense, you know. So it's like that. So, and you know, people tell me, how do you learn these ragas? I says, well, you just have to live with them. It has to just soak into you. Same thing I tell my Indian friends. I said, how do I learn jazz? I said, well, you have to listen to it and experience it and go hear it live and listen to all these people. And when I first went to India, I felt a little bit better because the music is such a high standard. So after you're hanging around these guys for a while, you start to say, man, I'm never gonna. But then I heard them playing jazz and I felt a little bit better. But now it's different because of YouTube, I think, they're now hearing really good jazz. Because my friend said, he says, John, you know, we just thought Western music was Michael Jackson. That's all we knew. That's all we think is Western music. So we didn't know all of this Miles Davis and Keith Jarrett and Chick Corea, who are these people and Bach, and they don't know. So, but now it's gotten different. And also, us Westerners, a lot of us have been soaking in these ragas for a long time. So the best compliment I got from a gig one time was this lady said, John, you play Indian music without an American accent. Or there was my other friend George. He played with me for years in a group, but he'd never heard my teacher. And one day he heard my teacher, and he says, oh, he sounds like you, John. But that's a compliment. And a lot of Indians that hear me play, they said, oh, they don't have to say anything. Oh, how long did you study with Hariji? Because he's a certain approach of his sound. Although I don't sound exactly like him. Some of his students sound exact duplicate, exact Xerox copy. I don't necessarily want that. But I have so many other influences that they keep coming through. Anyway, so in Indian music, they'll play this long section of long notes called alap.
And then he'll play a faster section where there's a tempo, but there's still no tabla or rhythm, but there's a pulse. And then you play this another section known as jala, where you play this fast passage, still solo. So Hari Prasad used to say, you should be able to play solo for 45 minutes, at least. Because he played one time one raga for 8 hours, and it wasn't boring. It was over the week. He first came and said, we'll do a lap today. And he just played these beautiful long notes, and you weren't bored, but he went on for 2 hours. Next day he says, okay, we'll do jor today. And same raga, he played that section for 2 hours. Not bored. Next day he says, okay, today we'll do jala. And then the fourth day he said, okay, we start with tabla today. We'll do tinta, 3 speeds of tinta. And then he said, okay, we'll do fast job done to end the piece. Okay. I recorded 8 hours long. So it's just incredible to sit with this guy. So anyway, I'll play this raga. I'm going to play a slightly different version of it in the sense that this is a very simple raga. It's just 5 notes. Some people say it sounds like a Chinese scale. What's that? Bhupali? But I will do one unusual thing. Because if you have the drone, normally the drone is sa and pa, root and fifth. But if you put the root instead of the root and fifth, the third and the sixth. It's a whole different mood. In fact, your ear starts to hear a minor chord. Because if you start from the sixth, it's actually a C minor chord. So your ear starts to hear it in kind of more of a minor tint. So anyway, I found it's very nice. I saw Hari Prasad do it one time. Because he's always trying out new things, even though it's a traditional. I could tell you some stories about Hari Prasad too. He was an amazing musician. His father was a wrestler, but he wanted to play flute. And so he used to hide. He started playing flute as a teenager, and he'd hide it from his father. And then finally he just got so into it, and his father did finally, he had no choice, because he was going to do it anyway. But he really wanted to study from this one teacher. Her name was Annapurna Devi. She was the daughter of Alauddin Khan. Alauddin Khan was the father of Ali Akbar Khan, and the guru of Ravi Shankar, and the guru of Nikhil Banerjee, and quite a few great musicians. He was this incredible guru. And he himself has a whole lot of stories. He was so into the music. I'll tell you a Alauddin Khan story, and then I'll tell you a Hari Prasad story. This is the intensity of these people's music. Alauddin Khan, he would just go and study from all these different masters. He never got married, he never did anything, he just would study from these great masters. And there was this one guy, this is back when they had still the regional emperors, you know, the Nawabs. So he went to this one guy and he said, I'd like to study with you. And the guy said, looked at him and says, well, I really can't teach you, you know, because you're not of the right caste, and I'm only teaching the king and his family. And he said, if you don't teach me, I'm going to kill myself right now. He ran to the street in front of a car, right in front of the guy. And someone grabbed him and they pulled him back. He said, okay, I'll teach you. So, anyway, Hari Prasad, similar thing. He went to this teacher, Annapurna Devi, who was the daughter of Alauddin Khan, daughter of the big guru. And she was the first wife of Ravi Shankar. But she never played publicly. She said, music is just between me and God. And she never played publicly. Or like 2 or 3 times, very rarely. Like, and they say she was even better than Ravi Shankar. And so when Hari Prasad met, he wanted to study from her. He felt she was the most pure. And he went to her. She said, okay, go ahead and play. And he played. She says, well, you're already very good, but your polluted. You play all the wrong way, and so you're already very good, but you're already polluted, but I can't take you. You're polluted, and you learned all the garbage. You got the bangles on the ankle bangles on the ears, and all the things in the wrong places, and it's, so you're talented, but you messed it up. I'm sorry, I can't take you. He tried for 2 years, and she said, go study from Ravi Shankar, Ali Barkhan, just get away, you know. And he said, no, I want to study from you. She says, listen, I can't teach you. You'd have to start from scratch. So he said, I'll start from scratch. So he was playing right-handed like me. He says, I'll turn the flute around. So in order to learn from her, he turned the flute around. Which, you know, if you're playing guitar this way your whole life, then you go to play this way, you have to kind of relearn the instrument. So that's what he did. So now he plays left-handed the rest of his life. That's what he had to do in order to learn from her. So that kind of dedication. And a friend of mine, he said, I know Hari Prasad. He said, he played a concert in my town. He stayed at my house. He says, yeah, he came home from the concert. It's about 11 o'clock. And he practiced till 5 in the morning after the concert. So just total dedication. If you ever get a chance to hear, there's some, just if you email me, I can send you some links of him. And as soon as you hear him, you go, oh, wow, the sound. So I just feel so fortunate that I've been able to spend 25 years with him. So we're going to do, first we're going to do this rock Bhupali with this alternate tuning here. So let's talk to our tambura player here. I'm sure he'll play some different notes if I ask him to. That's good. He has a different feeling, has a more minor feeling, which is very nice. So I'm going to play tabla come in a beat of 9 beats. Din dedicate to dedicate di inna di din di din 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 1. So that's another beautiful thing about Indian music, is the rhythms, because there is no harmony, but you have this very intricate way that you play the ragas and the scales, and you have this very intricate rhythms. So it's could go a lot into the rhythms, but for now, and I learned so much in different things, like 8.5 beat cycles, you know, 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 and a half. But we're just gonna do this 9 beat one. And so first I'll play this Alap Jor Jala, only I won't go on for 8 hours. A little shorter. So please enjoy Rag Bhupali.
Thank you.
That was a very short version of Bubali. Hit single version. This is a sample version of what the Santor, the hammer dulcimer in Indian music. Kumar Sharma, who plays the Santor. They have some wonderful duets. It's kind of a nice mixture, but you have that struck, plucked sound, kind of, and then you have the long, sustained flute as a nice contrast. Where shall we go now? One of the nice things about the flute is I get invited to play all kinds of places. So I was taken to China last year. Someone just heard one of my YouTubes. So he said, would you like to come to China? I don't know who this lady was. I said, well, she says, well, I'm with this organization. It's called, Dialogue Music and Melody for Dialogue. And I thought it was a beautiful thing. This lady, I came to find out, used to work for the UN, so she has all these really high connections. And she said, John, the most significant thing I think I ever did was arrange these cross-cultural concerts. And she said, I just like to bring people together to show the unity of everybody in music. What a great idea. You know? I mean, if we're having problems with Iran, right? We should bring all Iranian musicians over here, and we should go over there and play music, find that common place that's beyond all the other stuff that's going on. So anyway, this lady actually does it, and she gets these grants. I don't know what the grants are for, but that must be a lot of money, because she flew 20 people in. She paid for our visas, our airfares. 27 people, we all convened on this 5-star hotel in the middle of Nanjing, China. I'd never met any of these people. She picked them out, and we all rehearsed for a weekend, and then we played a concert in coordination with two Chinese orchestras, Chinese original instruments and Chinese classical, Western classical. And it's this big thing. It's like, it all came because she saw my thing on YouTube.
So,
another place I got to play for was, of course, I got to play many places in India. And also, I met my spiritual guru, Adi Das Samraj, partly through music. If somebody heard me play and they said, why don't you go play, it's a long story, but anyway, I had already been reading his books. I thought it was very interesting. But I read a lot of books by a lot of people. And I said, okay, pretty interesting. But I didn't think anything. Well, I actually thought, I thought it's a little complicated the way he's writing. But anyway, I ended up, someone knew that I was a student of Hari Prasad, and that was one of his favorite musicians. So somehow I ended up coming out here up in Lake County. They have a sanctuary, and I played for him. And then suddenly I had a whole different experience of reading his books. It was no longer, it's so intellectual, I was feeling this transmission coming from him, and I realized he's a transmission master. So anyway, I ended up playing hundreds of times for him, and he said the flute really helped people get out of the surface value, superficial values of the mind, and could receive his deeper transmission. So, and he also has an island sanctuary in Fiji. So for the past 15 years, I've been going to Fiji twice a year to play at this ashram. So you have to take a flight from Los Angeles, 10.5 hours, and you land on this island of Nandi. And then you get on this propeller plane, 18-seater, and you go another hour and a half to this other island of Tavayuni. And then you go into this, you go on this boat for 5 hours, and then you arrive at this island of Naitumba. So it's really out of this world. So there, we just play and play. They have all these different temple sites, and usually there's other musicians there. I never know where they're going to come from. There's musicians from Germany, or there's musicians from India, and we just play 8-10 hours a day, That's my assignment. I have to play music all day in this beautiful paradisical place like Hawaii. And you can go swimming at the reefs. So someone's got to do it. So, so I thought I'd play a piece. Because actually I ended up making a CD out of one of these occasions. One time we've been playing for like 5 hours for like 2 weeks. And I remember being so far gone, I didn't feel like I was playing music. I felt like we were all praying together, all of us musicians. And in fact, it was kind of an unusual situation because this guy, I had told him on keyboard, I said, he wasn't a keyboardist, but I gave him this sound, you know. And I said, just play these notes. Make sure you don't go off of these notes. And he did. And he's a musical guy, but he didn't play keyboard. So he was just doing these things on the keyboard, you know. And my tabla player, this guy's an incredible tabla player, but usually he starts out real simple, but then he gets going. But this time he just stayed in this groove. He didn't, just kept it real simple. And anyway, we were in this thing, I remember one night, and I didn't feel like we were playing music. I felt like we were just praying together, and then someone had put a tape recorder right in the middle. It came out perfectly. So we made a CD about it. It's called Above the Clouds.
It's over there.
So this, I thought I'd play something of that, a little bit of that feeling. So since, and on this island in Fiji, you're always very close to the shore. So while you're playing in this idyllic environment, there's birds,
all kinds of things. And there's also the sound of the ocean. So that's one good thing the iPhone is good for.
Here we are in Fiji. Thank you. was called Transcendental Veranda. We were on the veranda of our guru's house. Well, where would you like to go next?
I thought I'd trust his other flutes.
I had a recent accident with one of my lower flutes, but I realized I had a lower one. So... the story of this flute is I have a flute maker, and I don't like to go see him because I always end up spending money. Kind of like I'm an addict, you know, so I see beautiful instruments. So I go to his, you know, I bought some flutes from him, and I bought this beautiful flute. Then I came to him like a week later, he says, John, I have a new flute, why don't you try it? I played one note here.
A little tricky to play.
So I said, how much? He said, no, you bought so many flutes from me, I'm giving it to you. So he gave me this. It'd be $400 or $500. He has sold a lot of flutes. Because I tell everyone about him. So anyway, I'll just play a little bit on this flute, the bass flute. Let's see if you recognize this song.
I'll play the song at the end. I'll play a little bit of a raga.
Thank you. sounds of the bass flute.
What's that? There we go.
Well, we'll play one more.
One of the most beautiful points of music, also in Indian music, is the folk music. And like, so they have their own folk music. And there's especially some sweet music from Bengal. So I'll play for you a Bengali folk song, mixed with a lot of other things. So normally at the end of a concert, they do one of these kind of folk songs, and they'll mix a lot of stuff into it.
I'm going to use a different flute. This flute has a crack developing somewhere.
Is this made of bamboo?
Yeah, it's made out of bamboo, and unfortunately, sometimes cracks start to develop.
Like, this one's had surgery a few times.
Yeah.
What happens to the air?
Like, this one's expanding. I can hear it as I play, and I think it's getting me some... Let me see. These other ones. Has less of a... Yeah, it's a little bit... Something's going on with this one. I'm getting a little windy sound. After I... Once I warm up, it seems to happen. I didn't bring a backup. I should bring a backup for the E. Oh, that's all right.
I'm just doing this flute.
So this is in a different pitch. I think this is F. Let's see.
Thank you.
Could you tell us about your CDs and the differences between each
other? Yeah, there are a lot of them different. That one above the clouds is the one. There's one with two Indian drummers in front of my guru, Aridas Samraj. Then Bansuri Dreams is mostly solo flute. Then Facing East is sort of fusion, a lot of jazz elements in there with bass and keyboards and violin and guitars, all kinds of things, arrangements and songs. And then another one is True Water. That one is just myself and another percussionist, but a Western guy. But he had all these different cajuns and all kinds of different instruments. So they're all different, but they all feature the Bansuri. So you're doing one for 15 or two for 25.
Is one of them more only, which one has like mostly ragas and things?
Bansuri Dreams is all based on ragas. They're all based on ragas, really.
Okay.
Everything I play is pretty much influenced. It's hard to get away from ragas for me. They're deeply soaked into me. I mean, at some point I'm going to make a pure classical Bach, but that's going to take a lot of work to get that on the Bansuri. It's been done, of course, on the Western flute by many people. But I haven't heard anybody doing the Bansuri.
So you were saying one for 15, two for 30,
or five for 50, I guess. Do I have five up there?
No, you said two for 25 and then five for 50.
Yeah, that's not good. Five for 50.
That's what you said earlier.
It's the holiday time.
We will do that. Very good. Very good. That one we do, like that one. Also, you like, I know. Don't worry. Definitely, you will like. Definitely, I don't know, maybe it might not happen, but definitely you will. Also, that one I can tell you. Okay? You understand? Very good. I won the first annual Indian accent contest in many places. Or you get the cab driver. I mean, they said, meter's broken, sir. I want to take you, but meter broken, so I'll take you. You just pay me $500. I take you somewhere. Okay, don't worry. I'll take you. Please? Okay? Alright, meter's broken. Then you get out of the car and say, okay, I guess I will suffer. Oh, it's working now.
So are these all different key?
All different kinds. And because each one's a unique piece of bamboo, so each one has a unique tone color,
so
as well as pitch. So you know, bigger ones are lower. And this one's not even bamboo. This is some other kind of wood. I don't even know what it is.
And is there like a more common length, or is it?
This is the common sort of standard. I guess this is the one that Hari Prasad plays.
What key is that?
This is E. Three notes are E. And I think this one's got some kind of leak. I don't know what, but I know it's a lot of air.
And is it known as a six flute or six hole, or is that like?
Well, this
standard?
Has seven holes. This has eight down here.
But you don't hit
you
those.
You can play them. I play with my knees in
there. They give you tone color, or?
Just different pitch you can get. So they're all different. This big one you heard. And then you compare that with this. It's such a different sound after you hear this. Well, once you get used to that Bansuri, I get.
Yeah, I think I told you I play shakuhachi.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
So there's a, you know, that raw bamboo sound that's really
that's
bendy.
It's such a healing sound.
Yeah.
You know, even just one note, it's the wood somehow.
So is your maker local?
He's in.
He didn't specify.
He's in India.
Five for 50.
Oh, I can show you which ones are which, if you want to. This one.